Good morning. Is everyone asleep? Usually this place is just a buzz with energy. It must be the rain. However much energy you have this morning, we are glad that you are here, and so welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all those who are celebrating this morning. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us in worship, we are glad that you have found your way through the rain to this worshiping community. Your bulletin holds calendars and announcements. You can check out the many different ways in which we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Don't hesitate to ask someone around you if you have a question, or there'll be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And during the offering, if you would, sign your name to the hospitality registers that'll get passed along in your pew so that we can greet one another by name. We have a few announcements this morning. We'll start, Bob, right here.
Good morning. On Saturday, June 29th, 2 weeks from yesterday, the town of Gates has their bicentennial parade, and GPC has a float, and we need some help. Next Sunday, after church, we need to have hundreds of pom-poms made. A couple people are working on them now, but we're going to need lots more. So please join us next Sunday after church down in the Fellowship Center. We'll make lots of pom-poms. If you show up to make pom-poms, we'll provide lunch.
There's a deal. Keith.
Also on the 29th of June, not July, is the Clinker Bricks 5K. The sign-up sheet is on the kiosk. We're about 10% where we need to be on volunteers. So please, if you can, sign up. Also, you can take a flyer to work. Friday at work, I was packing up, ready to come home, and a person came up to me and said, Keith, are you running in a race? Are you running a race? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, the Clinker Bricks. She had found it on the website, and I gave her a registration form. She signed up. She took the flyer around to everybody else at work and got four more people to run. So there's flyers on the magazine rack outside the door. Pick up a flyer, take it to work, find one person that likes to run or walk, and that person will probably help spread the word. So everybody can do that. Thanks.
And Carolyn?
Youth, advisors, parents, after worship today here in the Worship Center, there'll be a Q&A for the Senior High Work Project. It's optional. Come if you have questions, and we'll see if we can give you answers.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
If it's comfortable for you to do so, would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? In the quiet of the morning, as we stir to greet the day, in the busyness of the day, as we work and strive,
God goes with us, giving us courage and confidence.
In the tiredness of the evening, as we begin to settle down,
God is present, refreshing and comforting our souls.
In the hush of night, as sleep overcomes our weariness,
there is God, watching over us.
Thanks be to God throughout all our days.
As we come and worship God, we recognize that we bring our whole selves, all the love, all the brokenness, all that we are, to God in prayer. Please join me in the time of confession printed in your bulletin. O God, our world seems in such a mess. Greed triumphs over generosity. Death appears stronger than life. People judge one another harshly. Sin abounds and grace recedes far away. Forgive us, O God, when we succumb to the forces of sin, greed, judgment, and death. When we act as if you are not here with us. When we fail to do the things we should. Welcome all people with love and joy. Live in an attitude of abundance. Find ways to support your work in the world. And now let us bring our silent prayers of confession. In Christ, our messy lives get straightened out. Not just some of us, but all of us. God's grace is unconditional, forgiving not just some of our sin, but all of our sin. Christ is alive. This is the good news. Amen. At this time, the children are invited forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can we come sit closer together? Good morning. Hi. Good morning. First of all, I would like to tell you, for all of you that were here last Sunday and helped to lead worship, you did a fantastic job. What a wonderful way to praise God together.
I know.
It was very exciting, so thank you. Now I have a question. Have you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Some of you, it's a phrase that adults like to use quite a bit, and what it means is that what we do is often paid more attention to than what we say. So I'll give you an example. In my house, we have a rule that during meal times, there are no screens. So no TVs, no iPods, no phones, no iPads, no Kindles, nothing. Because the most important thing for us is to be together as a family and see each other, right? So that's the rule we have in our house. And do you know who is most often guilty of breaking this rule? Me. Sometimes I get up and I'll go and get some milk for my girls, and I'll just sneak a little peek. And the girls will look at me, Mom, you know the rule. I do know the rule. And even though I say the rule all the time, people pay more attention when I break that rule or do something different. And in our Bible verse that I'm going to preach on in a few minutes, it is all about these two church leaders who say that the most important thing is God's love. But one of them does something else. And doesn't demonstrate it, doesn't show that by making sure everyone gets to be at the dinner table. So sometimes we need some help remembering that. And I'm pretty thankful that I have two little girls who help me remember all the time. And I help them remember, and we work together as a family, just like our church family here works together to remember what is most important to us. And we also ask God for help remembering. So can we pray together? Yes? Dear God, help us remember to not only to tell of your love, but to show it. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad you're here. And guess what? You are so lucky. You get to stay in worship through the whole entire thing again this morning. I'm glad that you're going to be here. But if your parents get a little bit wiggly and need to get up and walk around with you, they are welcome to do that. And for real little kids, you can go to the nursery. But I'm glad you guys are going to be here worshiping with us all summer long. So you can go back and sit with your parents, okay?
Jesus loves me. I'm so happy that Jesus cares. I'm so happy.
So thank God we're reading from the book of Songs, Psalm 32. Listen now for the word of God. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all of you who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
And our second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. I'm going to back us up a few verses than what is printed in your bulletin to help provide a little bit more context to what is going on. Starting with verse 11. But when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I, Paul, opposed him to his face, because he stood self-condemned. For until certain people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But after they came, he drew back and kept himself separate for fear of the circumcision faction. And the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law. Because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to To be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I may live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. I've got to tell you, this passage from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is a church nerd's dream. Whether you love history, theology, or ecclesiology, this passage has a little bit of all that wrapped into a few verses. Full of persuasive Greek reasoning from Paul in a far-off place called Antioch. Phrases like justified by faith, transgressor, and servant of sin. All of it seemingly focused on Peter's fear of the circumcision faction, which I will be honest, sounds more like the name of one of those summer reality TV shows gone terribly, terribly wrong. Now, if church nerd speak is not your primary form of communication, and you're having a little bit of trouble making heads or tails of this theological discussion, I offer a reminder that behind almost every theological discussion or debate is a story. Many times, we don't even know the story, because Paul or the other biblical letter writers don't tell it for us. But today, we know, because Paul told us. Paul tells us that the followers of Christ in the community of Galatia, which is located in modern-day Turkey, are having some trouble navigating what it is about the gospel that is central to their everyday life of faith. You see, for most of the original followers of Jesus, being a follower of Christ or Christian had some pretty clear boundaries based on geography and time and religious practice. God's Spirit, as it is told in the book of Acts, moved through a community of Jews in Jerusalem on Pentecost. They had more in common than they had differences. Being Jewish, they grew up with the same laws. They shared the same religious practices and traditions. They were all circumcised. They all ate the same foods and stayed away from the same foods. And then something interesting happened. Something that created all sorts of problems for the early church. The Holy Spirit kept moving. And the boundaries got fuzzy when people from far-off lands like Galatia and the people who weren't Jewish but pagan, like the Galatians, also came to believe that the good news of God's love through Christ was for them, too. And despite many of the early leaders in the movement being Jewish, like Peter and Paul, James and Barnabas, some of the names we heard in the verses this morning, there was a common agreement that Gentiles or non-Jews did not have to practice the laws of the Jewish faith to be a follower of Christ. This included the law about males being circumcised, which, as you can imagine, made becoming a follower of Christ a little more palatable for the Gentiles. But for those who have spent their entire lives in the boundaries of the law that oriented every part of their daily life, from what they ate for breakfast to how to harvest the crops in the field to when to bathe and whom they could share a meal with and how to worship God, it becomes particularly challenging to shift who they were and how they will now live out their faith centered on the love of God through Christ with those who practice that faith differently. And in the midst of this theological discussion concerning works righteousness and justification through faith, the heart of the story is that Paul, the writer of the letter, is irate because he feels that some of his fellow church leaders, mainly Peter, betrayed the agreement that they made that in Jesus Christ, all children, all people are children of God through faith, no matter how that faith was practiced. In other words, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or not. The boundaries are not more important than the life-giving love of God in Christ. It also didn't mean that those who followed the Jewish law had to give up the way of life they had adhered to for generations. It did mean that the way of life, the boundaries, the laws, could not get in the way of showing the love of God to one another. No one was allowed to act better than someone else because they had different religious practices, were from a different country, had more or less money, belonged to this congregation or another for this amount of time or less or more. None of this changed their standing in the eyes of God. Paul was very serious about the congregations and their leaders living this out with one another. And apparently, Peter, who Paul refers into the letter as Cephas, betrayed this agreement. Not with words, but with action. By refusing to eat the common meal or the Lord's Supper with the community of Gentiles following Christ in Antioch, to withdraw from the table fellowship with Christians who were culturally and racially different was to forsake them as his brothers and sisters in Christ, making them second-class citizens. And according to Paul, it violated the unity of the church. It mocked the cross of Christ, and it moved away from the heart of the gospel. It gets a little confusing as we read on as to whether or not the verses we have for this morning are written to Peter to confront him for his actions, or to assure the church in Galatia that such behavior is unacceptable and not consistent with the gospel of God's grace. Either way, the phrase I shared with the children this morning came to my mind: actions speak louder than words. Our actions, what we do, and in some cases what we don't do, is the story behind what Paul writes. And our understanding of all this often is interpreted for theological conversation and for practice. It's interpreted through the lens of another story that happened some 1,500 years later. And that story is about a devoutly religious man, a monk, in fact, who harbored an incredible amount of torment and guilt about whether or not his actions in life left him unloved by God. No matter how hard he tried to live his life seeking God's love, the more despairing and guilt-ridden he became. This man, who we know as the father of the Reformation, or Martin Luther, focused an immense amount of time on this letter to the church in Galatia, and in particular, the hallmark phrase of the Reformation, justification by faith. For Luther, this phrase was intensely personal. It was all about him. He believed that there was nothing any one of us could do through our actions to be made right or justified with God. And for those who need an image to go along with this term, justification is what a computer's word processing program, right, does to the margins. It straightens or justifies all the words on your document so that they are in right relationship with the page. What we do with words on a computer document, we can't do with our crazy, messy human lives. Through Jesus Christ, God is the one who moves us in the same place, in the eyes of God. Now, returning back those 1,500 years to the story of Paul and his trouble with Peter, it is important to keep in mind that this matter for Paul wasn't so much personal as or individualistic as it was about the good of the community. Through faith in Jesus Christ, or through the faith of Christ, if you get hung up on the grammatical implications of the objective and subjective genitive of pistis Christou, I assure you there are so many books on just that topic. But we aren't going to get hung up on that this morning, because the whole point is that we are all of creation is reconciled and moved toward the life-giving relationship with God. Not just one person here and there, but everyone. So it didn't matter if some followers of faith retained Jewish practices and others did not. Some communities could focus on prophecy and speaking in tongues, others on service to the poor and sick. Paul and the early leaders of the church agreed that the gospel could accommodate such differences, as long as these differences did not usurp unity based on faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul saw it, whether unintended or not, Peter was literally walking away from his commitment to live out in relationships with others the gift of God's love. Peter was afraid of what living outside the boundaries of human institutions would mean for his life, and so he walked away. Paul wants to make sure the church and Galatia and we here today do not do the same thing. Instead of walking away from the table and creating artificial boundaries of who is in and who is out, declaring what is right and wrong, ways to practice the faith, we are to live in the heart of the gospel, that is the love of God. And one of the best ways I have ever heard this interpreted was at a General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, when moderator-elect Jack Rogers offered his thoughts on how we as a denomination should use our confessions that are part of our Presbyterian Constitution to live our faith out together. He talks about how we can balance grace and law, sin and forgiveness, faith and righteousness, who is in and who is out. He told the assembly that the life of faith can be viewed either as a bird cage or a bird bath. In a bird cage, the emphasis is on boundaries. You're either in or you're out. Inside is safety and security, and outside is wilderness and hunger. And this worldview leads to declarations of saved and unsaved, righteous and unrighteous. With a birdbath, there are also boundaries. If there weren't, the water would trickle away. But that is not where the emphasis lies. The emphasis, the attention, is on the center, the life-giving water. And our task is to invite people to the life-giving center, where we have found nourishment in Jesus Christ. We will tend our own garden and hope to make it attractive so that the water of life we have found there will be nourishing to others. And as I sat and listened with thousands of other Presbyterians, you could sense the shift in the room. We were ready. We were hungry. We are ready. We are hungry for a little bit of birdbath theology and living that calls us to the center of God's love, where we don't walk away from the table or deny anyone else a chance to be there, where we all can live in the heart of the gospel, that is the love of God. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Hi, everyone. My dad had his surgery on Friday, and it went better than expected. They removed his right kidney, and he's at home now. He's a little sore, but he's all smiles, and he's very happy that it went well. And then we got a letter from my brother in South Carolina, and he's doing well. It was just a form letter, so it was very nonchalant. Ben does that. If you want his address or to send him a letter, just let me know. I have his address, so you guys can send him a letter. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's Jen.
Morning, Fran Peril. First, I'd like to thank all those that cooked and bought food and gave to those that needed it. I really appreciate it, and those people that really appreciated it, too. And I want to say, Bob and I are celebrating 28 years anniversary.
Thanks. Happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Marge Westfall. I'd like to thank the choir today. That music was absolutely gorgeous. We need more of it.
Amen.
It was wonderful.
Chris Holman, I just asked for prayers for our friends of ours, Bob and Colleen Price. Their daughter and son-in-law gave birth early this morning to their son, Blake. He is premature. There are issues. It was an emergency C-section, so lots going on. They're a very devout Catholic family, but I assured them that Presbyterians are pretty good at praying, too. So thank you for your thoughts.
I just want to second what Marge just said about the choir. That was such an uplifting song that I just love to hear more of that every Sunday.
Amen.
Oh, one more.
I'm not saying much because I don't do this very well. I'm very grateful this morning to have all of my family here for a special occasion. Thank you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we come this morning giving thanks to you for the joys of the summer months, for reunions and celebrations, for flowers and warm days. And this morning, we thank you for our fathers, our grandfathers, the fathers of our children, and the other men in our lives who have been like fathers to us. Indeed, their gentle strength has guided us and supported us in our lives. And we also remember the fathers of our faith story, Abraham and Joseph and others whose faithfulness continue to inspire us to be faithful. And this morning, we celebrate with the high school graduates in our church family. We rejoice that their lives have touched our lives. We thank you for the many gifts that you have given each of them. We ask you to fill their lives with experiences in which they may find fulfilling ways to use those gifts. We give you thanks for their parents, parents who have understood the importance of Christian community, parents who have taught love by being loving. May these graduates know without a doubt that their church family surrounds them with prayer as they go from here and will always welcome them when they return. And we pray, too, for our mission partners in Jamaica as together we began the renovation of the Green Island Basic School Project. Grant that our combined efforts provide an environment where children learn the wonder of your world. May this new school bring hope to the surrounding community. Oh God, we pray that you take us into our world with a determination to spread your love in all that we do. Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Irene Ward and Irene Derry, who will honor our seniors.
Good morning. There's not really much left to say after Carol Ann did that beautiful prayer, but we are very honored, both Irene and I, to represent public worship and give these gifts to our high school seniors. And some of you may be wondering what exactly we give them. We've got a beautiful keychain with a cross on it, and then on the back is GPC's engraved. And then they have a beautiful card that Robbie Waugh designed, and it's a picture of our sanctuary with the cross. So that being said, I'd like to read the names, and I know that not everyone's here today, but those who are here, would you please come forward and receive your gifts? McKenna Baser, Alex Fish, Matt Hosenlop, Sean Hausenmack, Beth Ullman, and Carl Vander. Congratulations to all of you.
And I invite you to join me in the litany of graduation. Insert in your bulletin. This morning, we recognize those who will be graduating from high school this year. They have grown among us through the years, and they've worshiped and served God with us. Congregation, you have been instrumental in the spiritual growth of these high school seniors. Some of you, our graduates call Mom and Dad. You have made faith development a priority in your homes. Many of you have been teachers, advisors, and sponsors. You have shared with them the biblical story and the ways it has intersected with your own personal story. All of you have demonstrated your commitment to these graduates by supporting their spiritual growth and by modeling Christian discipleship.
We have shared with them what God has shared with us, the joy of serving, the promise of forgiveness, and the blessings of the Christian community.
You, our graduates, have learned and grown spiritually. We pray that you continue to learn, grow, and work towards God's vision of peace and justice. Let us pray. God of all beginnings, we thank you for these graduates, for their excitement, their wonder, their curiosity, and above all else, their commitment to you. Their gifts have blessed us, strengthened their resolve to walk in your way. We ask your blessings upon each of them. Amen. So we're going to invite you to sit down here because we're not quite done with you, but I do.
may be seated. And we continue to worship God and celebrate the abundance of the blessings in which we have received by gathering our morning offering. But as the plates are passed, I also call your attention to the screen where we will have an opportunity to see some of the faces of those seniors who have grown in the life here at GPC. Let us worship God with our morning offering.
It's only for a moment you were mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare. You find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so.
Creator, As we heard during the children's story, actions do speak louder than words. Whether our actions be making pom-poms, running 5K races, doing mission work in Guatemala, Jamaica, or like those pictures we just saw, the senior and junior high work projects, that all of these and the actions of giving these offerings up to you this morning be used to magnify your word and to stir others into action to carry out your word in the world. Amen.
For our closing hymn this morning, we're going to just sing verses 1 and 5, which is underneath there, so you'll have to look for it. Verses 1 and 5. The grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia. Amen.